Hey ladies, a blessed Good Friday to you. We wanted to rerun one of our favorite Good Friday episodes. This is the Write This Challenge from last year, new verses for a favorite hymn, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. This was such a wonderful devotional time for us on Good Friday to meditate on what Christ has done for us. And we thought it would be a really lovely thing to share with you again. So enjoy this and a blessed Good Friday to you. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
We're going to sing for you today because it is a Write This Challenge. And y'all really like writing hymn stanzas for us. This was really fun. Rachel, tell us what we're doing.
Okay. Now, you guys know that I love writing probably as much as I love reading. So in addition to the book club, one of my goals in our ongoing conversations is to encourage literary creativity among the three of us, but also among everyone out there, and create this community of writers somehow. So one way in which we do this is the Write This Challenges, where we come up with a stumper of a creative challenge.
And not too much of a stumper.
Right.
Just enough of a stumper.
And welcome contributions from our listeners, who it turns out are not only deeply faithful and very creative, but stunningly intelligent and beautiful too. So here we are with our next Write This Challenge. And this time, since this episode is airing during Holy Week, we wanted to offer everyone the opportunity to meditate on Christ's passion through your writing, which is a wonderful practice. So we challenged everyone to write a new stanza to the hymn, O Sacred Head Now Wounded, which is a hymn that we sing every year. And every year it fills me with a ponderous heaviness to meditate on the passion of Christ with such beautiful poetic language. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you all enjoyed this challenge. I know I got a lot out of it, and we look forward to sharing some of those contributions during our time together today. But before we do that, I think we need to toss it over to our resident hymn nerd, Sarah, to give us a little bit of the background and context for the hymn that we are joining our voices to today.
Yeah, and I think as I went through the history of this hymn, I'm pretty sure it exists somewhere in another podcast, but because we're writing on it, I'm going to give you the super short elevator pitch.
The refresher.
Version of this. Yes, yes. So from the Hymnal Companion, it says that this hymn is the last of seven Latin meditations on the crucifixion of Christ attributed to Bernard of Clairvaux, who lived 1091 to 1153.
So this pretty ancient.
Yeah, the original hymn is super old, and I love super old hymns. It's just super old to, you know, sing stuff that's multiple hundreds of years old. And each meditation is a complete hymn, so it's like a series of seven hymns altogether, and each one addresses a different part of Christ. So there's one for his hands, one for his feet, one for his heart, etc. And this one obviously is for his sacred head. So that's where that comes from. And there is actually a little bit of controversy over whether Bernard of Clairvaux actually wrote this hymn, because it's kind of hard to track down manuscripts that are from the, 12th century? So there's a little bit of controversy over whether he actually wrote it. That's why it is, I believe it says, it's attributed to Bernard of Clairvaux, because they're not like 100% certain that it was him. But regardless,
according to Wikipedia, it was mistakenly attributed to Bernard of Clairvaux and now attributed to the medieval poet Arnulf of Leuven.
Yes. That story is in the Hymnal Companion. So controversy.
The Hymnal Companion, though, clearly does not feel quite as as confident as Wikipedia's
well,
author.
That's a good thing.
It's true. So either Bernard of Clairvaux or Arnulf, is that who it was?
Arnulf. Yes.
Arnulf. Yes. Regardless, it's a beautiful hymn. And also regardless, we don't sing it in Latin. We sing it in German. Mm-hmm. So we're not even singing the original mm-hmm. words. Anyway, no.
We are singing German. Sorry.
I sing it in English. I got ahead of myself. Paul Gerhardt translated into German.
Ah, okay.
So yes, we obviously don't sing it in German either. But Paul Gerhardt translated it loosely into German. And so that is the most well-known one. And of course, we love a good Paul Gerhardt hymn. Even
Royal
though
he, way.
Mm-hmm. I love a good Paul Gerhardt hymn. even though he was the translator and not the original author. And then the translation that we have is from the Lutheran hymnal 1941 altered. So obviously we sing it in English, but the English that we sing is based off of the German that Gerhardt translated out of Latin that we're not really sure if it was Bernard of Clairvaux or
do
not.
Do other churches that sing this hymn? Because it's one that's definitely spans Christendom, or at least a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
Do they tend to start from Gerhardt's translation?
That's a really good question, and I don't know.
Okay.
I think they often do. It was Gerhardt's translation was very popular after he wrote it. I'm just scanning information here. So, I'm a huge expert on this already. But we have translations from the 18th century by John Gambal, in the 19th century by James Waddell Alexander, a Presbyterian, one by Catherine Winkworth, who gave it the title, Ah, Wounded Head Must Thou. Wonder why we don't use that one today.
Thanks, Catherine.
There was even a translation done by Karen Lynn Davidson titled, O Savior, Thou Who Wearest a Crown, published in the Hymns of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So yes, Aaron, to answer your question, there are a variety of English translations, I believe mostly pulled from Gerhardt's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
According to hymnary.org, also doing super fast research, there are 717 instances of this in hymnals.
So, yeah.
So there's a lot.
Pretty broad spread of Christendom.
Very, very.
It's a great hymn. Whoever wrote it, it's a gift.
It is.
Yes, it is a fantastic hymn, which is why we wrote extra stanzas for it. Oh, but I have more to say about it first because there's a, if you'll notice in Lutheran Service Book, there's two of them.
Yes.
Why are there two of them? Well, there's this haunting tune by Hans Leo Hassler with two options. LSB 450 is the original rhythmic version. And we've talked about this before, how congregational song in the 17th and 18th centuries progressively got slower and slower and slower because the cathedrals were so huge and the singing just kept slowing down. And so the isometric version in LSB 449 probably developed because of this. And Bach, of course, set it beautifully. And it's this lovely chorale for Bach. So they took the very elongated rhythmic version and shortened it up so that it sings a little bit faster. So that's why we have two of them. And fun fact, I didn't know this. This just is a little note in the hymnal companion. It says that when there's two tunes for a hymn, the hymnody committee generally puts the one it prefers first, with exceptions for page formatting, because you can't really do anything about that. Most of the time, they prefer the older rhythmic versions, like how, Team 656 versus 657 for A Mighty Fortress, 656 is the rhythmic version. And I typically also prefer the rhythmic versions. But for this hymn, they actually prefer the isorhythmic or isometric. I always say this wrong. They prefer Bach's setting of it, isorhythmic. They prefer the isorhythmic Bach setting version of it. It is quite beautiful.
I do too, actually, and I'm gonna tell you why. It's because those older rhythmic versions often dance.
Yeah,
but for a Good Friday hymn, I need it to sort of plod, which I do not normally favor, but on Good Friday it seems that a ponderous meter is more fitting.
Yeah.
And suits the mood.
Yeah, That is true. I will say, though, I really, really like the setting of 450, the rhythmic version from the Lutheran hymnal. So I'm not totally sure who actually wrote the setting, but I really like singing that tenor line when we do the rhythmic one. It's just good. But that's just my personal opinion. I think I love both of them.
They are both good tunes. And whether you wrote your new stanza to the rhythmic or the isometric, isorhythmic, whatever you call it, version, it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah. So we ended up with 14 responses to this Write This challenge, which I think is wonderful. We have some really awesome stanzas. We are not going to sing all of them because that's a 14 stanza hymn plus the ones that the three of us wrote. So 20 stanza hymns. You know how much I love those, but we're not going to subject you to a 20 stanza hymn today. Side note, if you don't have the hymn in front of you, the text is still under copyright. So if you go to hymnary.org, you can see a representative text that I don't think is exactly the same as what, well, I know it's not exactly the same as what we have in our hymnal. Or, you know, this weekend when you're at church, since this is dropping on Good Friday, when you're at church, you know, every day for many, many hours for all of our Holy Week services and Holy Friday and Easter Vigil service and Sunday morning services.
I'm so excited.
It's Vigil tomorrow, guys. Anyway, you can read the hymn there as well. So there may be other contraband versions of it elsewhere online, but I did not look for them. We're going to start with Christy Lekband's. And I am going to sing this one because why not start it off with a song one? I'm debating which tune to do, actually. I did not decide this beforehand. I'll do the Bach one for this one. Then I'll do the other one for my stanza. But I need to know a note so I don't start too high.
We're not singing with you. Put it in the rafters if you like.
My Lord, I do not envy the pain you once endured, for though the load was heavy, salvation you procured. You call me to your table, you give me what I need. Forgiveness, life eternal, teach me your voice to heed.
That was lovely.
That was lovely.
Okay. From Joanna Lee, we have, O sacred head once wounded, who bore my grief and shame, in baptism I died with thee, thou gavest me thy name. Thy blood poured out to quench me, thy flesh given me to dine. Thou scorned not death nor sorrow, that thou couldst call me thine.
Beautiful. Thank you. I've got this stanza from Angie Parr. By water and the Spirit, my soul is bound to thee. Baptized into a death like this, he paid the price for me. Now Jesus raised in glory, his sacred head triumphant. Baptized, I'm bound forever to walk in paradise.
I love pulling baptism into this. It's perfect. Carla Perkowski sent two. One is less Lenten-y and the other is more Lenten-y. So I'll start with the less Lenten-y one. O Savior, bless our children, shield them from earthly strife, from evil and temptation, protect them all their life. Guide when their footsteps falter, should Satan lead astray. Return them to the fold, Lord, in faith again we pray.
Amen. I think I need that on a plaque somewhere.
Yes. And the Lent meditation. The sinners who hung with you were guilty as accused, but you, my Lord, were sinless, yet you were still abused. One sinner chose to mock you, the other did repent. Eternal life you gave him when you heard his lament. That is lovely.
Mm-hmm. From Lauren Scheid, we have, praise thee whose mercy reaches from Calvary to me. Through what my pastor preaches, thy word to set me free. Sustain my hearing, loving, thy holy word kept pure, that I may through all suffering in hope-filled faith endure.
I think that that is an exceptionally good meditation as we enjoy the range of sermons that our pastors have spent a lot of their life over the last few weeks preparing to give us.
Yeah.
To receive them with gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next stanza comes from Kathleen Mills. And since I haven't sung one yet, I'm going to sing this one. Probably not quite as high as Sarah Pitcher's.
Lord, in your death I witness your perfect love for me. In shame I would have hidden, but here your grace I see. Help me remember always that now your cross is bare. Grant me the faith to trust you and leave my burdens there.
That is lovely. The reminder that the cross is empty. All right, our next one is from Adrian Boland. O sacred head, now wounded, your love for me stands strong. My sins in darkness take me, your love follows along. You gather me in your arms, you pull me back to you. Your light shines brightly for me, salvation comes through you.
That's a beautiful confession.
Yes.
The next verse we have comes from Luann Weber. Dear Jesus, how you love me, to suffer grief and pain. You came to earth to teach me that heaven I may obtain. O Jesus, help me always to love you evermore. The pain you once so suffered is love to me outpoured.
That reminds me of the stanza of... Oh, no, I'm not going to remember. Oh, no, I can't remember. The stanza about love. I found the hymn.
Oh.
This hymn stanza talks all about love from Luann. And that reminds me of this hymn... It's an Advent hymn. It is, O Lord, how shall I meet you? Stanza 4, love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that led you to embrace in love, all love excelling our lost and fallen race, which fits perfectly into what Luann wrote. So,
And it's the same meter, is it not? I'm pretty sure it is.
It is.
Yes, that's also
the same
why
meter.
It probably
it
even
triggered
more
my
so.
Brain.
Huh?
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yes.
Our next stanza comes from L.E.W., 13 years old and a friend of the show.
Super fan.
Super fan.
Yes.
Hi, Ellie. She writes... Those who welcomed thee with laud, now jeering hang thee high. The holy Lamb, the true God, in sinner's place shall die. Christ, thy ransom sacrifice, thy pain bearing the tree, have granted us paradise, thy righteousness for me. Sarah, did you say there was a story that went with this?
Yeah, Ellie's mom messaged me and she said that this ended up being a little old English rabbit trail lesson for her because she was wondering when to use thee and thy, etc. So she started doing some research in order to write the hymn stanza. So it ended up being a little English lesson for her too.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And some beautiful poetry came out of that rabbit hole journey.
Yeah. The next one is from Allie Bach. O sacred head now gilded with diadems of gold, thy visage once afflicted, now awesome to behold. Come quickly, Lord, my heart cries, I long to meet thy gaze, and with the saints harmonize in never-ending praise. That's some very nice literary language use going on in that one, Allie. I like it.
Yes.
The next stanza we have comes from Haley Hazen, and I am going to sing this one. So let's see. Oh Lord, 'twas I that bruised you, my sins which pierced like steel. The serpent could not fell you, his head crushed by your heel. What mercy, Lord, you grant me, a crown within your hall. Eternal thanks and glory to Christ who died for all.
I love the imagery of the serpent's head being crushed.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing to emphasize in this hymn.
Yeah. Indeed. And Haley, we had similar thoughts. You will hear a tiny echo, not the same, but a tiny echo when it comes to mine.
Okay.
Yes.
I can't wait.
I like the call back to Genesis there. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, for our listener submissions, we have this one from our dear friend, Katie Sherman. She writes, I just had a long conversation with a woman about IVF, and this is what came out of me. I know it's a bit unusual, even controversial topic-wise, but it is my sincere prayer. And for context, Katie, of course, is an author, and one of her early books, He Remembers the Barren, about Christian couples struggling with fertility issues, has made her sort of a regular conversation partner for people on this issue. So
yes,
it seems that one of these conversations inspired her to write this stanza. Remember thou thy children, abandoned and abused, those lives suspended, frozen, by parents sore confused. Forgive our sordid labors that serve the God of me. Defend our smallest neighbors and let them come to thee.
Not a typical
Good Friday lyric, and yet when you are confronted with something that troubles you so deeply, it is the good and right thing to take it to the cross.
Mm. Yep.
And I love that she gives us an example of how to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Katie.
All right. Now we come to the part where we wrote our own stanzas. Mm-hmm. Get to see our own wide creative.
Although I must say that you ladies are a tough act to follow.
Yes.
That's very true.
Yes.
I'm not. Yes. So I'm going to start with mine. When we do these, I tend to do a silly stanza or a silly verse because that's just kind of my brand. But doing a silly one felt a little irreverent for a Good Friday podcast. So instead, this is a lighter version, aka a PSA to go find an Easter Vigil tomorrow. So I'm going to sing both my stanzas because I want to. Y'all come to Easter Vigil. We'll start with fire outside. Go in and sit and listen to psalms and gospel read. Then ring the bells and waken, for Christ o'er death has won. We sing of death defeated, the triumph he has won. Go to Easter Vigil, y'all.
That wasn't silly at all, Sarah.
See, yeah.
Just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now for my actual real, like, Good Friday stanza. I said I was going to sing the other tune, so I suppose I actually need to do that. It's like a code switch, though. I got to, like, think about the other tune in my head now. My Savior, what a story. You came to rescue me. You gave your life the glory and shameful cursed tree became
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I love about this hymn, and something that pretty much every contributor to this episode realized, is that this is a hymn that is both about Jesus and also to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling the story, but it is also conversing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. In addition, not only is it telling what happened, but it is also telling what it means to me and how it actually affects my life and my eternal reality.
Yeah.
And so it's this wonderful blend of description, but conversation mm-hmm. of what happened and what it means, and not just what mm-hmm. it means for everyone, but what it means for me personally.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful lyric for sort of doing all of those things all at once. Mm-hmm. And I think without even probably intending it, everyone who knows and loves this hymn gets that sort of intuitively.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed the opportunity to think through what it is that makes this such a beloved lyric.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I actually wrote two stanzas, and I wrote the first one without actually first revisiting the original stanzas in the hymnal. So I cannot vouch for the originality of my verse here. And I should have known that if a rhyme seems too good
oh, no.
to be original, it might not be original. In this case,
I mean, it does rhyme.
Languish and anguish. Isn't that so perfect?
Yeah.
Well, yes. So did the translator of the stanza we have in the hymnal also thought that. So with apologies. Mm-hmm. But here's my first. Lord Jesus, you once suffered, bore every human pain, and thus were counted worthy to rise to heaven and reign. When like your Lord I languish, show me the way to go, and sanctify my anguish, that I your life may know.
Sanctifying anguish, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that too.
Yeah.
But since I had shamelessly, if accidentally, plagiarized, I had to write another stanza. And the second verse didn't come as easily. So I actually have two versions of this second stanza, and you guys get to be part of my creative process.
All right.
Help me decide which one should stick.
Okay.
Dear Savior, in the garden, you wept for agony. In mercy, Lord, please pardon my frail anxiety. When in its grip I cower, oppressed by fearful thoughts, help me to trust your power, cling firmly to your cross.
Okay.
That's option one. Here's option two. The first half's the same, but I'll read it for context.
Okay.
Dear Savior, in the garden, you wept for agony. In mercy, Lord, please pardon my frail anxiety. When in its grip I cower, oppressed by dread and fear, help me to trust your power, and by your cross stand near.
So I do I feel like the challenge is I like the oppressed by dread and fear. I like the dread included in there. However, I prefer the cling firmly to your cross as opposed to by your cross stand near.
Yeah.
But those don't rhyme.
I am agreed on this point.
And so
back to the drawing board. Thank you. That was the answer I needed.
I encourage you to consider how you could perhaps workshop the oppressed by fearful thoughts to include some mention of dread.
Yeah.
That would
the
be
dread.
Yeah.
Okay. I will work on that. So this project is not finished for me, but I do want to play with it some more because if you can't tell, I've been sort of anxious about my own life these days as we prepare for potentially a new set of orders this summer. And I really, just like Katie wanting to bring her conversation about IVF to the cross, that's exactly what I want to do with my own anxious thoughts. So I will keep playing with this. We're not there yet, but maybe we'll get there.
Very good. So I selected, I wrote one and I was like, okay, one is enough. And if any more come, that's fine. But I've one is enough. But as often has been the case, once I actually start exercising this part of my brain, I find that very quickly on the heels of one comes a second. Yep. And if I had not delayed in this effort until last night, it's possible that there would be even more.
And thus the traditional Lutheran 20 stanza hymn is born.
Exactly.
Yes. So I have two verses. They do not necessarily all the really, I feel like they just share the theme and the meter. They aren't really intended to be sequels, if you will. So, that we might have life through him, God sent us his dear son. He loved us first, so made him sin's propitiation. If this is how God loved us while we were all still dead, we too can love the loveless for whom Christ's blood was shed.
That's excellent.
Yeah, and sin's propitiation works better when it's sung than when it's spoken.
Anyway, that's a great word.
It does work.
Five stars for long word inclusion. I love it.
I really love the unexpected rhyme. So
yes.
That was bonus points for that.
Yes, indeed. I was thinking about the 1 John 4 section where he was saying God sent us his son so that we would have life. He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so,
yes,
that's glorious.
That's where it came from.
I like it.
Okay. This next one has not gone through doctrinal review.
Uh-oh.
I have a little question about the beginning, but I decided it's okay. It's poetry. And if it would go through doctrinal review and not make it, that's okay. It's an exercise. So,
Rachel,
here we
can,
go.
Rachel can DR it for
yes,
us.
Yes,
yes. I've
not been prepared with this one. She gets to hear it fresh. Okay. Christ did not come to save lives. His death was for the dead. He came to bring us to life and crush the devil's head. Shame and humiliation is what the world perceives, but his death grants salvation to all those who believe. And I decided that I wanted to stick with it, that he didn't come to save lives, in that we were all dead in our sins when he died for us, is the meaning I was going for there. But
yeah.
I get that it's a little...
I get out of context. I get what you're going for.
Poetically, I really love it. Because, I mean, scripturally, he does say, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That we, in our earthly perspective, tend to think of the prolonging of this human physical life as the ultimate good. I mean, how often do we hear someone say, well, you have to do it because it will save lives? Or you don't know how many lives have been saved by this thing, as if this was our ultimate good. But in reality, you're right. For people who are spiritually dead, prolonging life is a means to give them more opportunity to receive the gospel and be brought to life by it. So I understand how people would hear this and go, wait, what? And yet at the same time, that's what poetry is supposed to do. It's supposed to make you sort of step outside your own, I don't know, expected train of thought and see something from a different angle that brings you to a new place of wisdom about it. So I think it's beautiful. And I am really loving the opportunity to read these, not just as poetry, but as devotions, miniature devotions.
Yeah.
To ponder what it means that Christ died for sinners, including me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And on that note, we'll have these posted on our social media so you guys can actually read through them today, Good Friday, and tomorrow, Holy Saturday. So you can read through them as well. We'll have Easter-y stuff after Easter on our social media, but we'll put these Good Friday meditations up today and tomorrow. So y'all can read them too. This was a great challenge.
I think
we found the groove on this. Yeah.
It was, I really appreciate everyone who submitted
a new
verse for this.
Very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to tease what the next one is going to be since we already have the next Write This Challenge on our calendar for this summer?
I mean, you can. I've completely forgotten. So tease it to me. That would be fine. So people can start thinking.
It is. It's a little different.
A little different.
Yeah.
And by people, I mean me. I need a long lead time.
Planting these seeds. I think it's good.
So this month is the Worship Institute, the LCMS Worship Institute. Maybe you've seen all of the advertisements for it. Maybe you haven't. But there's a Worship Institute happening this summer. And it's all about the Psalms and how the Psalms are the hymn book of the church. Mm-hmm. Now you remember.
I remember.
We've got a whole series of stuff happening on Psalms this summer. And I'm super stoked about it. And the finale of that series is our next Write This Challenge to write your own Psalm. Mm-hmm. So...
yes, I make my kids do this in homeschool, and it is such a good exercise because it helps them appreciate, you know, the craft that goes into the Psalms and the poetry that is in there.
Yeah.
So read up on it. We'll cover it, of course, hold your hand through this process, but it is a beautiful, beautiful exercise, and I am looking forward to it very much.
Yeah. There's going to be some prep for it for those of you who are a little bit like... like, what meter do you use? Do they rhyme? A number of the episodes leading up to this will help give you some ideas and concepts for how to approach this, which I am counting on personally.
And of course, I'll say right now that we will not be writing Psalms the way the Psalms actually are. Our Psalms are not scripture. They merely echo scripture.
Yes.
But it's a way for us to appreciate these beautiful sacred lyrics in a new and deeper way.
Yes. Yeah. So that seed is now planted in all your brains. That's happening in a few months and it's going to be super fun. So... for this Write This Challenge, thank you to everyone who submitted a hymn stanza.
You have blessed me today.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We will have these posted on our social so you can read them instead of just having to try to listen to them. And look for the next one happening in a few months. You can find all of that. You can even comment on this episode in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge on Facebook, and on our post on our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. You can find all of our podcasts, including our previous Write This Challenges, at kfuo.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on the KFUO radio app or on your favorite podcasting app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at kfuo.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give.
Oh Lord, 'twas that I... no, we're going to start again so I do it right.